Revelation 22:17 and 1 Corinthians. But there's also one more verse I want you to see. Portion of Revelation 22:17 says, "And let him that is thirsty come." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And then I have attention to you. Maybe you should turn to John chapter 4, verse 14. John chapter 4, verse 14. The Word of God says, "And whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but the water that I will give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." May I read that one more time? Psalm 4:14, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let's pray and ask God to bless his word to our hearts. Lord, we come to you this morning, reading your word and waiting on you to speak to our hearts. Use this unworthy messenger for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I have, at one time or another, have experienced physical thirst. Probably through this sermon, you're going to start getting thirsty. So we're going to talk a lot about water. Our bodies, according to estimates, are all made of at least 80% fluid. Except for our brains and bones and a few organs, we're walking water balloons. We need to be, because our bodies need so much fluid. Stop drinking and see what happens. You'll stop having coherent thoughts. Your skin will grow clammy. Your vital organs will wrinkle. Your eyes need fluid to cry. Your mouth needs moisture to swallow. Your glands need sweat to keep your body cool. Your cells need blood, which are a big percentage water, to carry them. Your joints need fluid. Oh, my joints need fluid to lubricate them. Your body needs water the same way a tire needs air. In fact, your God wired you with thirst. It's a low fluid indicator. Let your fluid level grow low and watch the signals flare. Warning, warning, warning. Dry mouth. Thick tongue, achy head, weak knees. Deprive your body of necessary fluid and your body will tell you. I've been told that many of the people who go to hospital emergency rooms are there because they have become dehydrated, and that's their main issue. Deprive yourself of spiritual water and your soul should tell you. Dehydrated hearts send desperate messages. Snarling tempers, waves of worry, growling mastodons of guilt and fear. You think God wants you to live with these? Hopelessness, sleeplessness, loneliness, resentment, irritability, insecurity. These are warnings. Symptoms of dryness deep within. Maybe you've never seen them as such. You thought they were like speed bumps. You thought these warnings are a necessary part of the journey. Anxiety, you may assume, runs in your genes like your eye color. Some people have bad ankles. Others high cholesterol and receding hairlines. And you and I, we fret. And moodiness? Some people say everybody has their gloomy days. Sad Saturdays Aren't such emotions a part of life that's unavoidable, some may say? I may say, absolutely. But unquenchable? No, they can be quenched. View the pains of your heart not as struggles to endure, but as inner thirst to quench. Proof that something within is starting to shrivel. Treat your soul as you treat your thirst. Take a gulp. Soak up moisture. Flood your heart with a good swallow of water. Where do you find water for the soul? Jesus gave one answer one October day in Jerusalem. People had packed the streets for the annual reenactment of the rock-giving water miracle of Moses. In honor of their nomadic ancestors, they slept in tents and they observed this festival. It was in tribute to the desert stream that poured out water. Each morning, a priest filled a golden pitcher with water from the Gihon spring and carried it down a people-lined path to the temple. Announced by trumpets, the priest encircled the altar with a flooding of liquid. He did this every day, once a day, for 7 days. Then on the last day, the great day, the priest gave the altar a Jericho loop, seven circles, dousing it with seven vessels of water. It may have been at this very moment that Jesus commanded the people's attention when he said, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried." Another word for that crying is shouted, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or his heart shall flow rivers of living water." That's in John chapter 7. Finally, frock priests turned when they heard them. Surprised people looked. Wide-eyed children and toothless grandparents paused. They knew this man. Some had heard him preach in the Hebrew hills, others in the city streets. 2.5 years had gone by since he had emerged from the Jordan waters. The crowd had seen this carpenter before, but had they seen him this intense? The scripture said he stood and shouted. The traditional rabbinic teaching posture was sitting and speaking. But Jesus stood up and shouted out. There are a couple of other passages in the scripture that points out the word shouting. The blind man shouted to Jesus for sight in Mark chapter 10. The sinking Peter shouted, begging for help in Matthew 14. The demon-possessed man shouted, pleading for mercy in Mark 5. John uses the same Greek word to portray the volume of Jesus's voice. Forget a kind clearing of the throat. God was pounding his gavel on heaven's bench. Christ demanded attention. He shouted because his time was short. The sand in the neck of the hourglass was down to measurable grains. In 6 months, Jesus would be dragging a cross through these streets. And the people thirsted. They needed water, not for their throats, but for their hearts. So Jesus invited. Are your insides starting to shrivel? Jesus said, "Drink of me." Drink Jesus. What H2O can do for your body, Jesus can do for the heart. Lubricate it. Aquify it. Soften what is crusty. Flush what is rusty. How? Like water, Jesus goes where we can't. Throw a person against the wall and his body thuds and drops. kind of a bad picture. Splash water against the wall, and the liquid conforms and spreads. Its molecules makeup grants water great flexibility. One moment separating and seeping into a crack, another collecting and thundering over the Victoria Falls or Niagara Falls. Water goes where we cannot. So does Jesus. He is spirit, and although he forever has a body, he is not bound by a body. In fact, John parenthetically explains that when he said living water, he was speaking spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. The spirit of Jesus threads down the throat of your soul, flushing fears and dislodging regrets. He does for our souls what water does for our body. And thankfully, we don't have to give him directions. We don't give directions to water, do we? Before swallowing, do you look at the liquid and say, now 10 drops of you go to my spleen. I need 50 of you for cardiovascular needs. The rest of you head north to my scalp because it's really dry. Water somehow knows where to go, right? Jesus knows the same. Your directions and my directions are not needed, but however, our permission is. Like water, Jesus won't come in unless swallowed. That is, we must willingly surrender to his lordship and invite him in. You can stand waist deep in the Colorado River and still die of thirst until you scoop and swallow, the water does your system no good. Until you gulp Christ, the same is true. Don't you need a drink? Don't you long to flush out the fear and the anxiety and the guilt? You can. Notice the audience of Jesus' invitation. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Are you anyone? If so, then step up to the well. You qualify for his water. All ages are welcome. Both genders invited. No race excluded. Scoundrels, rascals, all are welcome. You don't have to be rich to drink. You don't have to be religious to drink. You don't have to be successful or unsuccessful to drink. You need to follow the instructions. On what, or better, who? Who to drink? Him, the Lord Jesus. In order for Jesus to do what water does, you must let him penetrate your heart. Deep, deep inside. Internalize the Lord Jesus. Ingest the Lord Jesus. Welcome him into the inner workings of your life. Let Christ be the water of our souls. How is that done? First, you must heed your thirst. Don't dismiss your needs. Don't ignore your loneliness. Don't deny your anger, your restless spirit, your churning stomach, the sense of dread that turns up your sweat glands, and they are all signals and flares exploding when your body gets dehydrated. These kind of things happen. We could use a little moisture down here. Don't let your heart shrink into a raisin. For the sake of those who need your love, hydrate your soul. So heed your thirst. And make sure you drink good water. I know you don't drink dirt or swallow rocks, right? Do you drink plastic or paper or pepper for that matter? We don't think we do. They tell us that we have a lot of different things in our water, but hopefully not those, at least not the amount that we that could harm us. When it comes to the thirst of the body, we've learned how to reach for the right stuff. Do the same thing for your heart. Not everything you put to your lips will help your thirst. 80-hour work weeks grant a sense of fulfillment, but they never remove the thirst. Take special concern with a bottle, so-called bottle, labeled religion. Jesus did. Note the setting in which he speaks. He isn't talking to prostitutes or troublemakers or penitentiary inmates or reform school students. No, he's addressing churchgoers at a religious festival. This day is an ecclesiastical highlight like the Vatican on Easter Sunday. You almost expect the Pope to show in the next verse. Religious symbols are laid out like a yard sale. The temple, the altar, the trumpets, and the robes. He could have pointed to any item as a source of drink, but he doesn't. These are mere symbols. He points to himself, the one to whom the symbols point and in whom they are fulfilled. Religion might pacify our feelings, but it never satisfies. Church activities might hide a thirst, but only Christ quenches it. Again, drink Him. And drink often. Jesus employs a verb that suggests repeated swallows. Literally, let him that come to me and drink and keep on drinking and keep on drinking and keep on drinking. One bottle won't satisfy your thirst. Regular sips satisfy thirsty throats. Ceaseless communion satisfies thirsty souls. Let's look at a tool. Call it a prayer for a thirsty heart. Carry it like a cyclist carries a water bottle. This prayer outlines four essential fluids for soul hydration: good works, God's energy, excuse me, Rebecca, God's work, God's energy, God's lordship, and God's will. One more time. Four essential fluids: God's work, God's energy, God's lordship, and God's love. Just think of the word well. Work, energy, lordship, love. W-E-L. Can you pray a prayer like this? Lord, I come thirsty. I come to drink to receive. I receive your work on the cross and in your resurrection. My sins are pardoned and my death is defeated. I receive your energy empowered by your Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I receive your lordship. I belong to you. Nothing comes to me that hasn't passed through you. And I receive your love. Nothing can separate from you. Don't you need regular sips from God's reservoir? 1 John 1:9 says, as we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do. We could offer this prayer in countless situations: stressful days, dull days, long drives, demanding realities of life, character testing decisions. Many times a day, we can step to the underground spring of God and receive freshness from his work for our sin and death, the energy of his spirit and his lordship and his love. Don't forget, it's a bottomless well. Drink from his bottomless well. You don't have to live with a dehydrated heart. Receive Christ's work on the cross. Receive the energy of his spirit. Receive his lordship over your life and receive his unending, unfailing love. Drink deeply and often from the well. And the Bible says, and out of you will flow rivers of living water. We need to drink Christ. And we need to involve ourselves with the work of God. Let's sing a hymn in closing.